Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Good morning, Metroplex. We are live on the road this morning here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for waking up with us as part of the 6 a.m. Club. Sean Treif, RJ Choppy, and Bobby Belt. Chop, where are we?
We are at Merido Golf Club in Carrollton for the Live. This is the championship. This is it. This is the tour championship of Live Golf. So they will have all the players out here. They'll be out here probably in the next hour or so on the putting green. I think today is at the Pro-Am, so that'll be kind of cool to get out here and see.
Have you decided what you're going to yell out to Koepka when he walks through these doors over here, or DeChambeau? Do you have your list of call-outs?
No, I see. With DeChambeau, you can yell out Brooksy if you wanted to, right? That's what he doesn't like. But you know me. I'm all talk. Yeah. I'll chicken out when it comes time.
Well, he looks like he's dressed to go out there and putt with him, huh, Bob, with this outfit?
Yeah, I noticed it's funny. Whenever we go out and do something like this, I'm always the reverse. So I've got jeans on today. You guys are shorts, but, like, Choppy is ready to play. He's got the little gummy bear golf tee here. And
Bogey Bros.
He's ready to go, man.
Yeah, these gummy bears, they're good guys. I don't know what kind of gummies they are. They're very forward. Some of these gummies are doing some naughty things on this shirt.
Oh, a Diddy brand
it's
shirt.
It's a Diddy brand shirt, no doubt about it. But I'm tucking in now. I'm a tucker.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, I tuck.
Where are we with this venture? Live, you know, I found it, you know, confusing at first. Where do you find it on TV? What are they actually playing for? How does this match up against the PGA events that are taking place? Does it really not matter? Because we're going to get the big dogs here playing in major championships anyway, which a casual golf observer like me only pays attention to. Like, where are we with this whole thing and where they've been going?
It's a mess. I don't want to say it too loud in front of the Saudis, but it's a mess, man. So they had a meeting on 9/11 in New York.
Did they have it on 9/11?
Yeah, they did, yeah. Okay. It was a 3-day thing, so it was the 10th, 11th, and 12th. And they had a meeting, and out of the meeting, there's a couple things that are going on. Like, one is, like, there's the courts are involved because of antitrust, because they don't want one monopoly. But
NFL,
right? But the other thing is that the tour players of the PGA Tour, if they're going to let the Live golfers come back, they want them to return the money they took to go play in Live, which is a ha ha ha, you got to be kidding me kind of thing.
Yes.
So that's one report that was out there. It's been denied and it's been corroborated. So I don't know what to think on that. Also, like, there's the amount, like, there's do the Live players at least pay the fines that came with leaving? Like, that's some of the things that are still sticking. They made progress. They're going to have to merge because the sport just isn't the same. You go to watch the Byron Nelson or the Colonial, and, I mean, those may be bad examples because a lot of guys didn't show up to those anyway because the schedule kind of sucked for them because they were put, you know, around Jack's tournament or around the U.S. Open or the PGA. But you go to those tournaments, and it's not the same. Like, you don't see Koepka or Phil or Bryson or Rahm, and you're left with guys that are either past their prime or you've never heard of. And that's a problem. It's a problem for the sport.
And coverage-wise? Where?
Well, PGA Tour still got the best. It's on CBS. It's on ESPN. It's on NBC, Golf Channel. This is on the CW. And I don't know where the CW. I think it's 33.
Yes, it is.
But I haven't seen it. Like, I skip over the. It's weird. On our guide, when we go to DirecTV, we go 4, 5, 8, and 11, and then I skip to like 206. Right. I don't even know what's in between.
Yeah. This is an impressive setup out here, though, Bob. I mean, look at the gallery club. We saw the merchandise area. There's a fan center. They're going to have concerts out here. I mean, this is nice.
Yeah, is this normal setup for a golf tournament? Like, does it look like this when it's a? Because I'll be honest, like, coming out here, I've never been to an actual golf tournament other than when we do, like, the Celebrity Classics or whatever. There is, like, already, even before they get started, I do have kind of like a, oh, this is kind of a cool energy. Like, I might want to be out here when something's going on.
They have stuff like this, but not
This is very cool.
Yeah, this is set up a little bit like more, I don't say grandiose, just like
it's just Saudios,
yeah.
Well, and I mean, just forget like the optics of it, just being on a Steve Smyers course.
Yeah, you know absolutely. What I mean? Yeah, of course.
The link style layout, yeah, minimal sure. trees, wide fairways.
This was the hardest course in what? The country?
It might be the hardest course in the world. It's got a
purist course.
It is purist course. So it has they have slope rating and course rating. The course rating is an 80.5. And what that means, man. And I've never seen anything above a 75, 76. But what that means is a scratch golfer, a zero handicap, should shoot about an 80 here. That's lunacy.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Does that mean greens are the hardest amongst any? Distance on the fairway, narrow fairway, what makes
could
it
be,
harder?
Could be anything. So they're testing the green right now. So they've got that stick out there with the golf ball.
Yeah.
And they're testing to see how fast the greens are. So they'll see how far this ball rolls. And that is that is the test, right?
Yeah. The greens are really fast, significant undulation, movement. It makes the putting a real test.
So the greens are supposed to be tough, but the water plays on like 14 of the 18 holes. It's a narrow fairway, thick rough. So it's a difficult course. I haven't played it since they redid it. The last time I played it was, 15 years ago, and it was under a different name.
So where are we with the standings heading into this on who will end up winning or who's in contention? What's that bag look like?
Well, Rahm just took home a major, major prize, but the Crushers are in the lead here.
The Crushers.
So they have team names, right? So if you look at all these team names here, you'll see like Crushers, yeah. Legion, Ripper, Smash.
So a team will win?
So there's a team and there's individual. So the first place is like $14 million. Rahm got that, I think, last week.
Okay.
So it's up to the team stuff.
Okay.
And that's where we come in with this. And you see, like I said, like Crushers in first, 8 points ahead. And then you got a bunch of guys that are much further down.
Yeah, see, that's definitely unlike anything I've seen at a normal golf course. You talk about the team names. You see they've got, like, their little promo shots, like, lined up around the putting green there, like billboards almost. It's a completely unique look.
This is your second golf course ever. You're sitting here saying, compared to anything.
I've seen it on TV. I've seen there's not signs all around the putting
green. I've never seen this at Top Golf.
I never saw
it.
Typically at a PGA Tour event, I would imagine like this would just be like, oh my gosh, you can't talk this early because it would reverb and hit their backswing hours later.
You live in Flower Mound. There's like three golf courses there.
All right, so thanks to the powers that be that have us out here, Meridoe Golf Course in Carrollton, throughout the entire morning here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. We'll have Tony Lombardi, Ravens Insider, at 7:20. The Payload and the Neighborhood Watch on the 40s. Babe Laufenberg trying to recover from his trivia question disaster last week at 8:40, and Paul Ferretti at 9:00 to talk about what's happening out here. Bobby, a lot happening inside the Stars. It appears and seems like we have our own Christian McCaffrey-type controversy, as defensive tackle Jordan Phillips basically told reporters yesterday he was not hurt, that the Cowboys are putting him on injured reserve for no reason. It was a wrist injury. He's going to miss at least the next four games, and he apparently was in the locker room and said, I don't know, that's above my pay grade. You have to ask the people making the decisions. He was clearly frustrated, according to reporters, and said his wrist was fine.
Yeah, he is. I don't believe he is going to be available in that locker room much longer. Jordan Phillips was really bad the other day. And you know, I was doing Cowboys Crosstalk last night, and Nate Newton was talking about how he's like, man, when you watch the tape that Phillips put out there, he's like, that looked like a player who had no interest in being on the field. And so I think the Cowboys were really frustrated by it. And
they slapped a fake injury designation.
This is the same wrist injury that he had at the or alleged wrist injury that he had at the end of last season. And so officially their word is going to be, no, there is a problem. And that's what they're doing. I think in reality, probably not. Probably more a wink, you know, wink, wink thing of just, we're going to get you an injury settlement and get you out the door. But I mean, Jordan Phillips is risking that, I think, by talking as loud as he is and claiming the things that he is.
But to be fair, you know, fair AF is my T-shirt. We got to sit here and mock the Cowboys and pick them apart like we did the Niners with McCaffrey and their sketchiness overplaying.
Yeah, so, and I guess I view him as a little different just in the sense that, like, McCaffrey was – they were trying to get a tactical advantage of prep for McCaffrey even though he's not going to be available.
Yeah.
This is they're just trying to find a way to get out of the money on Jordan Phillips and not have it count. Now, this is awful timing. Because the fact that he was active for the game on Sunday, that's now two games that he was active for. That was the requirement. That was the condition for the trade to go through. Had he just not been active this past week and they were to, you know, release him and he were to be done, they wouldn't have owed the pick swap to the Giants. But now they do. And so they actually had two trade notes come through this week. Peyton Hendershot got cut in Kansas City. And so that means that they're not getting that conditional draft pick back for Peyton Hendershot, and they do owe the pick swap now to the Giants since Jordan Phillips was on the roster for two games.
And then on top of it, yesterday, Mozzie Smith leaves practice with a possible back, so that's another D-tackle issue. And then no Lamb or Diggs?
Yeah, so Diggs was a foot, Lamb was an ankle. Now, it's always when you see these injury designations, a lot of times, like, for instance, Zach Martin is on the injury report yesterday as a DN or as a limited with not injury related rest and then slash knee. So they'll say he was planned to have a rest day here, but he was also dealing with an injury. So it's a little concerning when you see Diggs and Lamb on the injury report as did not practice. And there's nothing in there about it being not injury related. It's got an injury on it. But talking to people yesterday, it sounds like neither one of those are considered really serious. There's a bigger question about what's up with Mozzie, because Mozzie got on the field yesterday and had to be walked off by a trainer. And so he's got a back issue tightened up on him. And I guess we're going to see or get more information as the day progresses. But this is that one is looking a lot more uncertain right now. And they are completely thin at defensive tackle.
You lose all that weight, you're supposed to not have back issues.
That's right. Choppy, what do you think the spread is on this game right now, or do you already know?
I did not look. Cowboys by 2.5.
I think it was Baltimore by 1.5.
Baltimore by 1.
Oh, so it's lowered a little because I think it was 1.5 on Monday.
Baltimore favored by 1. And when you don't have all those big guys in the middle, you are more susceptible to Derrick Henry. And I think we need to do a look back. Like we do with every big name that the Cowboys don't end up signing here, whether it's Earl Thomas and Jamal Adams or Odell Beckham. Were the Cowboys right about Derrick Henry so far this season? Henry, who has the only two rushing touchdowns of the year for Baltimore, 130 rushing yards, so 65 a game, and he's averaging 4.3 a carry. So do we have major big-time Derrick Henry regret already here on the show?
I mean, 4.3 is not a world beater. It's much better than what these guys are doing, but it's not a world beater. I don't think so. Not for what did he get? I mean, he got a lot of money. He got like $8 million.
2 for 16.
Yeah.
2 for 16. That's not a ton. It's not a ton of cash.
The attempts so far have been 13 for 46 against the Chiefs, and then 18 for 84 against the Raiders at 4.7 a carry.
That's much better, obviously, the 4.7. I don't think I have major regret. I would have liked to have seen them done more with the running back position.
Yeah.
Primarily in the draft with fresh legs, but I'm not gonna worry about $8 million for an aging player.
Yeah, I mean, it's early in the season. He has been declining recently. But, I mean, the idea was the Cowboys this offseason, they didn't even want to place a phone call. And their whole position was, well, look, we don't want to offend such a great player by offering him such a small sum that we can afford to pay. That it's less about, in their mind, according to them, they would tell you, you know, it's not that we don't think he's worth $8 million. It's that we don't have $8 million to spend, guys. Like, we just don't have that money. And so, I don't know. I'm going to be really fascinated to see how much Derrick Henry comes into this game going, I'm going to give you a payback game. Because these are two very different ways that the Russian attack is going to go. New Orleans is trying to get outside, do stuff on the outside. Baltimore will line it up, big packages between sacks, and just, like, ram it down your throat.
petty ball game with Derrick Henry not even being a former Cowboy. Like Mike Tomlin gave Russ Wilson the game ball against the Denver Broncos. They did throw Carlos Watkins back into the mix, right, Bobby?
Yeah, Carlos Watkins was signed off of the Washington practice squad, and he's a solid player. Like he was somebody who I don't think I don't think they initially wanted to just walk away from him. He just kind of got lost in the shuffle when he signed as a free agent with the Cardinals last year. But he played well the first two games last year before he had a biceps tear and missed the rest of the year. Landed up on the Washington practice squad, was elevated last week against the Giants, but the Cowboys signed him away. And he's somebody who I think you're not going to just see him get blown off the ball the way Jordan Phillips was. He will be steady.
Is a former Cowboy correct about how jealous all of us really are? Okay, we'll do vocab scoreboard with you,
Chappy. No, I like it.
A former Cowboy calls out our football jealousy. Is he right? Next on The Fan.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Well, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
Peyton Russell gives you instructions for his birthday at 6:40, and the KMC Masterpiece, throwing shots at the morning show again. That's coming up in the payload during the Thursday edition of Sean, RJ, and Bobby, live from Merido Golf Course in Carrollton on DFW Sports Station. Deion Sanders calling out all of us, sitting at the press conference and explaining why people actually take shots at college football players.
When I say I genuinely love these kids, I genuinely really do. It's not about what they can do for me on the football field. It's about what I can help them with in life. Landscape has changed in football. Once upon a time, you guys never attacked college players. Now they're making more money than y'all. And some of y'all are envious and jealous about that. So you're on the tech. It was hands off a college player because he's an amateur. You remember? Remember that, guys? Now it's hands on. Go at them any kind of way you want. They're making more money than me, and I'm mad about it. When you attack them, attack them, attack them, these guys are sensitive. They've never been attacked. They hadn't gone through what a grown man, what I've been going through with y'all for years. They haven't done that. So it is what it is. I know you're going to do your job and what you must do, but your job does not say in attack. The personal stuff, leave it to be personal, because if we start flipping the script on y'all, you wouldn't like it. I can ease it. Thank you, Lord, for stopping me that day. Ooh, that was almost a good one. That would have went viral.
Deion's wrong, by the way. If he wants to talk about, like, you know, the way y'all get personal with me, I can tell you for a matter of fact, like, there's plenty people have left off the table and left out of the public about Deion. So,
well, it's like, okay, there's he is right in the sense that, like, it is different now. Right, that the media coverage is different, but let's make no mistake about it. They've always criticized college players. Now the difference is that when you throw money into the mix, like now you are basically professionals. You do get maybe more harshly judged, but like college towns, college media is notoriously soft.
Yeah.
And the difference is that Colorado is basically in a major city. It's not right in Denver. But the Denver people are the media members there. Denver Post writers and stuff, I mean, they're used to covering the NBA. 18-year-old NBA players make more than every media member. But it's not that. It has nothing to do with it.
I'm going to say something that's really personal. It might be over the line. But it's honestly what I think whenever I hear Deion talk like this. And I don't know the status of his dating life, girlfriend, wife. I don't know. Whenever I hear Deion talk like this, I think to myself, how in the hell could anyone be married to Deion? How impossible would this guy be in a relationship? Now, the term gaslighting, I think it's like making you think you're responsible for something or making you think or confusing you. But that's what I think of when I hear Deion talk as well. Gaslighting. I'm going to dance in your face. I'm going to put on my sunglasses. I'm going to flash my fancy watch. I'm going to talk smack. I'm going to dance. I'm going to go to your crowd. I'm going to sit there and be the you. I'm going to try to resurrect the attitude and swag of the you. And when I do that, I don't expect any talkback. I don't expect you to respond. I don't expect you to fire back. This dude is a freaking gaslighter. He's maddening. And the only little benefit of the doubt I'll give him, I thought of Hall of Fame voters when he said, you guys are probably mad. Reporters are petty enough to not be able to separate the way they were treated by Barry Bonds and others, and they let that interfere with their vote, which is wrong. So do I think that may be some reporters who are more harsh and unprofessional because guys are making a lot of money? Yeah, probably, because there's some losers out there who can't separate it and do their job of just voting for what the guy or girl did on the field. But you can't sit there and be the loudest, flashiest, swaggiest, mouthiest in the room and then get mad when people respond to it when things don't go right for you. What a joke.
He created this brash personality for the team. The team has taken on his personality. The players, first of all, when people look at Colorado, they don't even think of the players. He's got two top 10 picks on the team.
Yeah.
And 95% of people, when their perception of Colorado, is just Deion Sanders.
Yes.
It's just Deion.
The dislike does apply, I do believe, to Shador. And Shador brings a lot of upon himself.
Yeah. Nope. I don't think anybody dislikes Travis Hunter. I haven't heard a single word about Travis Hunter.
Agreed.
It's Shador because he does a lot of the same things that his dad did. And the difference is that his dad, won Super Bowls and, was a mega player at Florida State. And Shador's 3-9 in his last 12 games as a starting quarterback. And that's a problem. That's a problem for Deion because Deion's created this brash personality. And you could be brash. You could be the I win Google me guy in the open here. Well, he's 3-0, and they got a 22% chance of making the college playoff in his first year at Indiana.
Yeah.
And he's already got them in a position.
He tried to tell you.
And now, Deion's 3-9 in his last 12 games. Like, that's tough.
But, I mean, here, the biggest thing is, like, you're right. You can't have the look at my wristwatch and, like, have that whole personality. You can't stand Shiloh up there with you before the Nebraska game and go, we're going to beat him down and, Raiola's not going to get anything. You can't do that.
Play my rap song before.
Right.
The Colorado
fight song.
You can't do that and then go in front of the media and essentially go, my God, he's just a child. Leave him alone. No, you don't get to do that.
Let me ask you a bigger question then about criticism, high school, college, how harsh with college, what is deserved and fine while talking about college athletes?
Almost zero with high school.
Okay.
Right? Almost zero with high school. Even if you're doing the game, and I call it some high school football games, you just ignore bad plays. Like, you just ignore them. you don't even announce them. You don't even like bring it to light. College, I think you
it's a fair game?
It's if the NFL is a 10 out of 10 on fair game, then college is a 8.5.
You agree, Bob?
I don't know. Like,
major college. You don't want to do like that on North Dakota State or something like that, you know what I mean? Then fine.
Yeah, like, do I want to pick on a walk-on at a group of five school or something? No. But, like, I mean, there is a level of, like, this is a professional sport at this point.
Yeah.
Like, they are getting paid for it. There's massive money involved. It's not just that. You have players who, Saban talking about part of the way that, reason that he quit was he's in there for meetings, or not Saban, Armin Katayan talking about it, where part of the reason why is because Saban gets in those meetings and guys are asking about, like, hey, how do we get some more NIL money? How do I get my money? All right, well, if you're going to be, like, negotiating, like, payouts and things like that for your performance on the field, then you're going to be judged just as harshly.
And how personal do things, like, really get anyway? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
personal's a broad. I don't know. When Deion says it's getting personal, what does that mean?
Paul Feinbaum, my favorite audio in all of college football now, apparently went at it with Stephen A. Smith over Deion's comments that journalists are jealous of that player salary.
You know better. Deion Sanders is completely wrong here. There's no justification for him castigating the entire media for nothing, for something that never happened. And if he can state it, go ahead and state it. But don't sound like one of these politicians coming in here and blaming it all on the media. That doesn't work in college football.
Well, first of all,
college football media, if anything, is too subservient to the people that coach like Deion Sanders. Woo! Just like
don't give me that nonsense about me being subservient, Paul Feinbaum. You stop that right now.
Well, no, you are. What did you just say?
I'm quoting the man.
Here?
Hold on. I'm quoting the man. I didn't know what happened until I heard his quote. And when he said in his quote, okay, some of y'all, I'm like, okay,
and
I don't know who
that?
Those folks are. I don't know. Excuse me. I think he believes it.
What's your opinion, though, Steve?
Yeah, what's your
How
opinion?
About Feinbaum with the flamethrower.
He doesn't care, does he? He'll go at anybody. But yeah, look, it's none of us are reading. And Steve and I went and said none of us are reading the Denver Post every day. We don't know the ins and outs of this. We're not in there. We don't know what's going on.
We pretty much hear every story. But, yeah. I mean, Deion has succeeded in that light. Like we have to talk about Colorado a lot.
Name me five current college football programs that you know more about.
Can't.
Than Colorado.
Can't. And I even know what the weather forecast is over there. And this is part of my impossible being in a relationship point. This is Deion going back and forth with a reporter over the weather forecast for this weekend.
Hey, Coach, with potential rain in the forecast for Saturday.
We got rain? What forecast you got?
Just changed this morning.
No, let me see. It ain't say rain on mine. Who do you use? Straight up.
I just saw it from a local meteorologist this morning.
There you go.
A meteorologist?
That's a mistake. I got 5169. This joke has been accurate. Anybody else got? Read yours.
Either way, let's just say there is rain on the
forecast.
No, we're
not going to say there is rain. I'm one of those good weather men. When you say 60%, I say 40%. 40% chance that
it rains. A meteorologist that I respect highly said that there's a pretty good chance it rains on Saturday.
Mine says 30%.
Okay. I don't know which one I got. I mean, I need to check mine.
Is that funny or difficult?
Both. Because, it's very difficult. It's very, very difficult. But it also is funny because I think that they should change the weather. If it's a 40% chance of rain, they should tell me it's a 60% chance of sun.
Okay.
Or if it's a 99% chance of rain, tell me it's a 1% chance it's not going to rain. I want to hear the positive when it comes to my weather.
I think part of it, like isn't the percentage chance supposed to be like coverage too?
Yeah.
Like it's not that there's a 40% chance of rain. It's like that there's a 100% chance of rain in 40%
of the coverage area. Yeah.
But I mean, still, like Deion is the classic case of you could tell him the sky is blue and he's going to argue about it. Like he's going to,
is it blue or is it a tint?
I don't know. That sky looks a little orange that I'm looking at directly in front of us. I don't know what you're talking about.
Bobby, you want biscuits or Cutter? College football kegger.
I want Dirk Cutter since we've been talking so much about him during the breaks, or I have. Anyway, Dirk Cutter is the, of course, the former Tampa Bay Buccaneers coach, and he is now the offensive coordinator at Boise State, which typically, if you're the offensive coordinator, I think you have a good handle on your personnel.
I would think so.
You know about your quarterback especially.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
And you know what your quarterback needs to do. Yeah. Well, Dirk Cutter was asked, hey, what does your starting quarterback need to improve upon?
Is there anything you'd like to see Maddox improving specifically?
Maddox, specifically for him, let's see. We had stuff we were working on with all the quarterbacks. They're actually written on my board down there. Yeah, just call me old. I can't remember off the top of my head, but he's working on stuff. That was a bad answer.
How do you not have something off the top of your head of like, man, I'd like to see him do this or that better? He's like, well, I wrote it down on a whiteboard, but it clearly wasn't
amazing.
That important.
That's crazy. I suppose there's the possibility that he's doing everything wrong and he doesn't want to say anything bad, but they're a good team and they're a playoff contenders. That can't be it.
Maybe, but like, I mean, what do you got to say? Don't you just say like, you know, I want to see steady improvement from him. I want to see him do this.
Peyton Russell has instructions for you honoring and recognizing his birthday, and Mike Bassick firing some shots at the payload.
Uh-oh.
It's a Thursday. That means the payload with Philip Russell is next.
Okay, am I hearing this right? The morning show is letting Peyton Russell have his own segment? I just don't get it. We've known Peyton for years. He's horrible on the mic. I mean, gathering the foreigners, this is going to be a train wreck.
Daddy does work, and Peyton just does board hopping.
That is right. It is another edition of The Payload every Thursday at this time. And gentlemen, let's begin things with some birthday shout-outs upcoming here on the show. I'm looking at the 105.3 The Fan calendar. We don't actually have a calendar, but I made mental note. We should have a calendar. It's disrespectful not to have a company calendar with birthdays
on
it.
Just check the schedule, Peyton.
Yeah, that doesn't say it either. So I'm looking at some upcoming birthdays. Tomorrow, it's RJ's birthday.
Oh,
and it's my birthday tomorrow as well.
It's yours. Oh, my God.
How about that? We should get the day off, RJ.
We should. You know what that means, Peyton? If tomorrow's our birthday, that means today is National Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Huh? Does that always fall
always
on the
calendar? Always on September 19th, baby.
Really?
Always on the 19th.
You can do that with Paul Faraday.
There you go. David.
David, sorry. David Faraday.
RJ, how old are you? I'll go there.
Oh, gosh. You guys got to get McCarthy to do something special for your birthday.
Oh,
6:30
man.
Tomorrow morning, Mike McCarthy.
I will be 45, Peyton.
Dang. Whoa.
Oh, man.
If you double my age, I'm almost there. No, I'm joking. I'll be 28. Still in the 20s. Still in the 20s. But, man, I'm getting up there. I'm worried about the 30s, man. I really am.
Yeah, I mean, things start falling off when you're in the 30s.
Which was harder, 30 or 40?
Which part of my body?
Like, no, like as a dealing with the age.
Oh,
40.
40, yeah, 40, I think. 30, I was fine, but, like, also 30 was, it was also, like, a big thing because it was, all right, that's the first kind of thought in your mind that, okay, you're getting there. You're getting old. Where did my 20s go?
Yeah.
But 40 hit.
But before I get to, you know, how I want people to tell me happy birthday or how I tell them happy birthday, I want to ask you guys, Sean, RJ, Bobby, how do you guys want to be told happy birthday? Do you care? I know Bobby doesn't care. He never told us that his birthday was upcoming earlier this year. He doesn't want any gifts or anything. But, I mean, is a simple text fine? Do you like the social media posts? Is that a good way to tell you? Do you expect someone to call you? Or do you not even care anymore at this point?
Why don't you start since your 45th is tomorrow?
I would like any acknowledgement from my children that they have any awareness that tomorrow is my birthday. That's all I care about. I don't get a Father's Day, nothing. I don't get a birthday from them. I see them every day. They have no idea what I do for work. They are completely oblivious to anything that goes on in my life that doesn't include them. That doesn't include money or taking them somewhere. So I don't care who says happy birthday to me. I just want I don't even care if my kids wish it. Just text me on the birthday. That's it.
I think a text message suffices. You know, if we come in here, it might be nice if the fellas say happy birthday on the air. If someone wants to go and make a social media post, that's just extra. That's icing. You know, Brian brought us posts all these nice little birthday messages to everyone else, and I don't really get them. He does watch tape for me, though. Is on the way home, he goes, watch Minnesota San Fran for you. I checked out. You said you needed someone to scout out what happened. I got it. He gave me a full scouting report. So that's just as good as a birthday message. But a simple text message, I think, is good. Because really, a birthday for me has turned into a chore. It really is turned into a chore of texting everyone back and trying to respond to Facebook messages. I used to respond to every single Facebook message from
like them all.
Try to like them all, and then you got to call your aunt back, and you got to call everyone back. It turns into a day of return calls and texts. It's a chore.
Boy, I hate the liking the pressure to like the Facebook happy birthday because Kristen is so petty. Like, you will go down the list if you were to just scroll, you'll see. Like, and then there's a certain person who I know she's not really fond of, and then there's no like, and then jumps down the next, like, and you'll see her, like, picking and choosing which one. She's like, I'm not going to like their happy birthday message to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Petty. Dion.
Very petty. Very petty.
So, with me, and it's not that I don't like being told happy birthday this way. Again, a text is fine with me. The social media, call, whatever, in person is great, too, if I see you, but a text is fine. And I don't care what time of day, as long as it's before midnight, you know, for the next day, obviously. But me,
I always give extra points to that person who's the first to text, you know?
Yeah.
And when I wake up and someone has it sitting there at 5:01, normally it's my dad, I really like that. That shows some thought right there, or whoever saw it on Facebook first.
So
I used to do that. I used to go to the Facebook birthdays, and I would just copy paste to every single person every day. You know, back when I was trying to get ratings.
So a lot of us we're in group messages, right, with our friends, our coworkers, all that. You know, I'm in the Los Hombres. I'm in You're Appreciated with you guys in the morning show. Other group messages. I don't really think it's very thoughtful if someone sends you a happy birthday, if they're close with you, the happy birthday text in the group message.
Because
you're not just texting me, you're texting, you know, however many other people are in the group message. And Little petty note here, it bails the other people out that don't remember your birthday. send me the one-on-one. You know, wow. Send me the one-on-one. Don't, because I got in trouble with this a couple years ago with some friends of mine. I sent, you know, text messages outside the group message, happy birthday, and then no one told him in the group message happy birthday. And so a couple guys forgot to say it because they didn't realize it, because they didn't have it memorized, didn't have it written down. And they were like, wait, Peyton, you said it? Of course, they come and attack me. Yeah. They said, Peyton, you said happy birthday? I said, yeah, I text them outside. I don't want to text them in the group message. And they got so mad at me.
You're already upset at Bobby then, because Bobby has already wished us a happy birthday on our group chat.
I literally did it 30 seconds before Peyton just said he hated it.
So definitely does bail out the other people.
It does, yeah. For sure.
It's a great save.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Like, my mom will text me or call me and be like, hey, this is happening. That is happening. You know, we all. So Peyton, you're telling me you're on top of everyone else's birthday. You don't need a reminder from your mom or your dad when it comes to the grandparent. You don't need a Facebook birthday reminder for other people since you're so on top of it. It means so much to you.
No, I absolutely do need a reminder, but I want the reminder outside the group message. I don't get. It's just the saying it in the group message. You know, that's why I don't.
So
I don't
text them one on one. That's the lesson.
Absolutely.
If you have Peyton's phone number. Yep.
Okay, moving on here. Sorry, it's tough to read the body language.
Out here, Ruben?
It's tough with the body language here. I hate doing these things on remote, you know, because that's why you got to be there.
Real quick, Peyton, speaking of the group message, we didn't update Sean and RJ yet about the iOS 18 update and what that has done to our messages.
Oh, that's right. We can now send, me and Bobby, we're sending pictures back and videos back and forth to each other.
We get read receipts now. The iOS and the Android are interacting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so if you update to iOS 18 on the messages, we will have full iPhone capabilities with my Android.
I'm going to text Robert right now and see what happens.
We
got to
update your messages first.
So yeah. Gavin Dawson a few weeks ago, said that this was the most toxic show on the fan, and there's no number two. And he might be right about that.
Yeah, he's right.
But it's also the number one show that lives rent-free in a lot of hosts. Ahead.
Yeah.
Because Mike Bassick last week took shots at Sean Sharif, unnecessary shots. And, you know, this clip I'm about to play here, I mean, this is Mike. This was, I believe, a couple days ago on Alex's segment, whoever, you know, whatever that is, AM on the FM, AM on the AM, whatever it is. It's some words jumbled up together and then a little intro with the bed music, you know, very, very, very cute for Alex. But glad they're giving him airtime since he was replaced on the weekends.
Damn!
So this is Mike Bassett taking shots at the payload. Jeez, the other day. Peyton. On the KNC masterpiece.
Peyton does a good job of never changing his tone of voice.
Jeez, Mike. He is a very monotone man. We'll give him.
Can't tell if I'm happy, sad,
okay,
or not.
Okay, Mike. Jeez.
It's the Peyton Show.
Well, thanks for giving him his content for Thursday.
And there's Alec again with little subtle shots, man. Yeah. It's like he just needs the mic time again. So he just jumps in whenever he can. But, you know, and look, in this clip here that was 14 and a half seconds long, that was more audio or more voice talking from Mike than he does in an interview on his very show.
Wow.
You listen to Stephen Jones, and it's just Kevin and Corey, you know, asking the questions. Jerry Jones tomorrow, it'll just be Kevin and Corey asking the questions. But Mike still gets paid full-time money for working maybe 45 minutes on his show.
Who do you think has consumed more Egg McMuffins during a Jerry interview, Jerry or Mike?
Yeah, you got to fire back at Bassick. But Mike does listen a lot in the mornings. No one tops Corey Majors. Mm-hmm. Listen to the show. You may throw Chia follow in there here and there. But yeah, don't let Bassick get away with that, Peyton. Good job.
Yeah. Okay. Last story here. Well, we got, you know, a few minutes left here. You guys have all proposed to your significant others.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm still thinking of ways to do that, and this might be a new way for me.
Whoa! You can't just blow by it like that.
Wow! Look at that.
Well, it's a lead into the story. Sorry, I had to lead in. But you know, hey, I've been thinking. I know you guys have Diamonds Direct, so you know I obviously have to hit you guys up first.
Thank you.
But if I was in Boston, I would hit up this sandwich shop. A Boston sandwich shop named Polly's North End announced, in honor of National Lobster Day on September 25th, they are selling a $10,000 engagement lobster roll. And you're thinking, okay, how big can a lobster roll be for 10 grand? No. There's a wedding ring inside it. It's a 1 5/8 carat diamond atop with 1.75 pounds of fresh lobster meat. So you get to knock out two birds with one stone. As long as they're, you know, your girl's not a Bobby Belt and you know, afraid of lobster, afraid of seafood. You know, you can pose to your woman, and you get to enjoy a lobster roll here. Is this a good or bad idea?
I think it's an awful idea to give an engagement ring and say, here, honey, you remind me of, you know, seafood.
Yeah.
How big
the Boston women probably do.
How big did you say the ring was?
1.57 carats.
No. Yeah. You're getting ripped off. He getting ripped
10
off.
Grand, yeah.
It's probably more lobster worth on that thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Lobster rolls are expensive, though. This is 28 ounces.
Yes. Or diamonds.
Yes.
Or diamond ring, you know? Like, it, yeah. Now, plus, I mean, is it good? How long can the smell of lobster stay on that ring for?
And how do you not bite into it? Like, is it going to be in the middle? Is it going to be on the bottom? Is it going to be in the butter?
So the picture I see, it's just laying on top there. So you're hoping it doesn't sink in. Because lobster, I mean, I get it cold, but I think you can warm it up.
It's not a soup. Well, it's not clam chowder.
Sink in.
It sinks into the lobster meat.
No, it doesn't. Lobster meat is firm.
Yes, this is not great.
Have you guys looked at a lobster roll? There's meat and like sauce right around that, and okay, it goes in between the.
It's because it's like.
Oh, you mean like shredded, like cut up?
Yeah.
Okay. It's like not like on top of the lobster. Yeah.
Yeah, it's still not gonna sink in, especially 1.5.
It's gonna wait on that cut. This isn't a J-Lo yellow diamond here. Okay.
So Peyton, back to the main story.
Yeah.
Does Mackenzie, we all know you're dying and desperate to get married.
Right.
Does she know that you're thinking of ways? Like, she knows it's coming, right?
Yes, absolutely. She knows. She's prepared for anything. She says, as long as you just let me, you know, tell me, get my nails done, you know, I don't care.
Get your nails done?
Yeah. Get your hair did.
Yeah, get your hair did. That's absolutely. Now, is she going to make you do this thing in that midfield at a Texas Tech game?
No. She said no sporting events. She was anti-sporting events.
Put it inside a mozzarella stick at Slappies or whatever.
Or Dino Nuggets. I could put in Dino Nuggets.
What's the place called in Lubbock? With the
Spanky's.
Chimmy's.
Spanky's.
Chimmy's.
Slappies.
I like Slappies,
dude. The Chimmy's margaritas, they're famous with the Tech crew.
It's the payload every single Thursday here on DFW Sports Station, 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for being a Tolo. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On, a Cowboys-Ravens preview with a Ravens insider at 7:20. But RJ Choppy says the NFL, it's going to be Mark Cuban 2.0, the statement, the NFL is going to be unwatchable in 5 years. And Choppy explains why. We got Thursday Night Football tonight with Aaron Rodgers. It's all coming up right here on The Fan.